The FBI is investigating whether one or more Pentagon employees gave classified information to Israel using a pro-Israel lobbying group as intermediary. The investigation has cast an unwelcome spotlight on the publicity-shy American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. AIPAC, as it's known, has vigorously denied any part in espionage. Nevertheless, it's on the defensive about its goals and methods, as NPR's Vicki O'Hara reports.
AIPAC is known as one of the toughest, most effective lobbying organizations in Washington. It has 85,000 members and an annual budget of more than $33 million. AIPAC spokesman Josh Block describes the organization as strictly an educational group and lobby that works with Congress and foreign policy establishments to strengthen the U.S.-Israeli relationship and advance American interests in the Middle East. But critics of AIPAC say it is much more than that. They describe it as an aggressive, well-funded steamroller that barely respects the letter of the law on political activism. Columnist J.J. Goldberg, the author of Jewish Power, Inside the American Jewish Establishment, says that AIPAC undeniably has influence.
It is able to call on a vast army, tens of thousands of individual members who are political donors and are willing to pick up the phone and talk to their representatives when they're steamed. You have to remember that in Congress, 10 phone calls is a flood. So if they get 10, 20, 30 calls from their district, from people who are upset about something, they quake.
A senior congressional aide who asked not to be identified says that on Capitol Hill, AIPAC has a reputation for bullying, intimidation, and promoting policies that don't necessarily advance the interests of the United States, or, in the view of some, the interests of Israel. The aide says AIPAC's power probably has been exaggerated, but members of Congress, the aide says, are not willing to take chances. Former Congressman Paul Finley, an Illinois Republican, maintains he lost his bid for re-election in 1982 because he offended AIPAC.
I got acquainted with AIPAC in a big way after I met with Yasser Arafat, and this seemed to really touch a raw nerve with AIPAC, and they decided to make me their number one enemy. I really didn't know much about how they operated.
But AIPAC spokesman Josh Block says his organization does not endorse candidates or contribute to political campaigns. Douglas Bloomfield, a former legislative director for AIPAC, agrees, but says the group still has considerable power.
Like every political group, you can make it known who your friends are and who they aren't.
Bloomfield argues that in the case of Paul Finley, the incumbent had weakened his home base by, as Bloomfield put it, setting himself up as Arafat's best friend.
He had an awful lot of funding from pro-Arab sources all around the country, and I think a lot of pro-Israel contributors helped his opponent. But I think whatever the two sides did was not as important as the perception of his own constituents that he was more concerned with helping Yasser Arafat than he was in helping the people of Springfield.
Finley disputes that characterization of events, but says he certainly respects AIPAC's abilities.
They really know the right buttons to press. They know how to corral votes. And seriously, they have effectively eliminated free speech on Capitol Hill as far as Middle East policy goes.
Another politician who got on the wrong side of AIPAC was former President George Bush. In 1991, he asked Congress to delay loan guarantees to Israel. The president feared the loan guarantees would undermine Middle East peace efforts because the money was expected to finance the resettlement of some new immigrants to Israel on Palestinian land. But the pro-Israel lobby went into action, and at a news conference in September of that year, President Bush acknowledged that he was up against some powerful political forces.
Today there were something like 1,000 lobbyists on the Hill working the other side of the question. We got one lonely little guy down here doing it.
Many American Jews interpreted the president's comments as being anti-Semitic. Again, J.J. Goldberg.
If you show on television a president attacking the Jewish community, American Jews are going to respond.
That fall, Bush ally Richard Thornburg was the strong favorite to win Pennsylvania's vacant Senate seat over Harris Wofford. Goldberg remembers that after the president's remarks, the campaign turned around.
The reaction around the country was electric. Donations poured into Wofford. Wofford ended up soaring from behind and beating Thornburg.
Critics of AIPAC have tried over the years to link the group directly to the defeat of Finley, Wofford, and other candidates, including Congressman Earl Hilliard and Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney in 2002. But so far, AIPAC has been able to avoid being designated a political action committee, which would open its finances to public scrutiny. J.J. Goldberg says that AIPAC doesn't have to get directly involved in campaigns to accomplish its goals.
There's a network of donors around the country. They know each other. They talk to each other. I mean, if you go to synagogue on Saturday morning, when something happens, everybody's buzzing. It's a very, very educated and mobilized community.
Malcolm Honlein, executive vice chairman of the Conference of Presidents, an umbrella of Jewish organizations, says that the members of AIPAC simply exercise their rights as American citizens.
They're pro-America, and they see being pro-Israel as part of being pro-America. These are the most loyal and patriotic Americans who have come together to do what American democracy demands of us, and that is involvement.
Former Congressman Paul Finley agrees that AIPAC's members are very good citizens.
And whenever I talk to Muslim groups or Arab American groups or other groups about the challenge of bias in U.S. policy in the Middle East, I tell them all that the doors that Israel uses in our political system are wide open to other groups.
American Jews who support efforts to make peace between Israel and the Palestinians complain that AIPAC is too close to the policies of Israel's current Likud Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, who takes a hard line toward the Palestinians. Some Israelis also complain about AIPAC. The group claims to support all Israeli governments, but Yossi Beilin says the record shows otherwise. Beilin says that when he was Minister of Justice under Labor Prime Minister Ehud Barak, AIPAC sometimes tried to dictate Israeli foreign policy.
I think that AIPAC in the last years tried to be more Israeli than the Israelis.
Yossi Beilin says that AIPAC has become far too right-wing.
It is frightening, the blacklist of those which AIPAC doesn't want to re-elect creates a kind of a fearful situation in the Congress and especially in the Senate. I don't think that people like us more because they are afraid.
Members of the House and Senate are unlikely to admit that fear influences their votes. And in point of fact, Israel enjoys strong support on Capitol Hill and in the executive branch. In the days after the news media reported that the FBI was interviewing two AIPAC officials, senior members of the House and Senate came to the group's defense. Without even waiting for the results of the investigation, Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, a Republican, called AIPAC an outstanding organization. And Minority Leader Tom Daschle, a Democrat, said America is better and stronger for AIPAC. Vicki O'Hara, NPR News, Washington.